and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. It's a beautiful day here on campus, and I'm so glad you're here with me on campus.
Well, thank you. It's always beautiful here at Southwestern University.
Oh, you are so sweet.
I will say, especially today, you know, driving up the highway, Interstate 35, to get from Austin up
How'd
to Georgetown. Well, it's always a little
it's always, a,
always
challenge.
A little slow going, but you know what? Very pretty scenery, some nice wildflowers.
On
nice
35? Really?
Nice. Well, the wildflowers were pretty.
Between the strip malls.
Between...
When I was a graduate student 100 years ago, there was nothing between Georgetown and Austin. I mean, Round Rock existed, but you wouldn't see it.
It's changed.
And it's a whole different. Of course, we're talking to the local folks now, and people around the world don't know what we're talking about.
You know, Central Texas is known, I think, for wildflowers, and we've had an extraordinarily pretty spring this year that's stretched out.
Can I just share something with you
yes.
that I learned about a month ago?
What is that?
For 30 years, I understood that in the state of Texas, and I think it was connected with Lady Bird Johnson, that if you picked wildflowers, that was actually illegal. And it turns out that is false.
That is fake news.
That is fake. That's a very old,
very old
fake news.
Fake news.
That apparently what I learned is that, of course, wildflowers often grow on private property. And that, of course, makes it, you know, illegal to kind of trespass and go on and take things from private property. But it's not illegal to pick, you know, a wildflower, you know, bluebonnets, for example.
Right. It's not illegal to pick them. It is also illegal, though, to park illegally on the side of the highway to hop out of your car and go take pictures of them. So there are illegal activities surrounding them. Yes,
correct.
you are correct about that.
But the pilferage of a bluebonnet is actually completely fine.
It is okay. But I do want to say that Higher Ed Podcast in no way condones criminal activity. I had to throw that disclaimer in there. But
so, neither does KUT or Southwestern University.
Now we're protected.
That's right. Thank you.
So, Ed, you know, we got a really great question from a very loyal listener and fan of the podcast. She wrote in a question to me, and here is how her question goes. She says, my daughter is a sophomore in high school and has started attending college fairs and doing online college searches. She really wants to study abroad, in part to experience a new culture. I would love to get your insight in this area. And any tips you can give students and parents embarking on the college search. So study abroad, you know, her daughter's a sophomore in high school, starting to think about college. What do you think about studying abroad?
So I think studying abroad offers an enormous opportunity to really grow and to understand the world better and to understand differences, difference in culture, difference in traditions, difference in worldview. I think it's a very, very powerful way to learn for those students who would be drawn to it. I will share that as a math nerd and someone who was really growing and thriving at my undergraduate institution, I didn't study abroad just because I wanted to be on campus. But I think that if someone is drawn to that, they should be encouraged to do so. And if you look on any campus, and you said that our listener's daughter is doing a search right now, she will not find a campus where there is where there are not study abroad opportunities. Usually it happens in the junior year.
Of college.
Of college, either for a year or a semester. So there are these programs that are out there. I think that one of the great things that I would throw out there for people's consideration is the language. So you can go to England, you can go to Australia, where the language is essentially ours, or ours is essentially theirs. But I think it's very impactful to go to a place where, in fact, there is a difference in language, because then really the customs and just you feel more like an alien. I mean, in the best sense, that you feel like someone who is on the outside and you want to become the inside. And I think that creates all sorts of empathy when you come back to your safe space to look for opportunities where other people might feel like they're on the outside of even where you are. And then what do you do about that?
So there are clearly lots of advantages to whether you're a high school student or a college student to spending a few weeks or a month or a semester, or even a whole year studying abroad. Have you experienced or ever noticed students miss anything by not having some time on their home campus, either during high school or during college?
No. And by the way, at the high school, I mean, for example, there's the AFS program and many other programs. The Rotary, I think, even has a program like that as well. No, I don't think so, except if you have picked a curriculum that is very intense. So, for example, if you're working on a Bachelor of Science degree at Southwestern in biology or chemistry, you have to choreograph your life really carefully because there's so much expected of you. And so you have to then choreograph that study abroad experience with great care. Now, at Southwestern, you can also do a study abroad during the summer, which allows people to do that kind of on top of their other stuff. But you could even do it during a semester if you carefully plan, and also if you're very sensitive to the courses that you take while you're studying abroad and they enhance your program. That's, I think, in my opinion, the only concern that I would have for advising a student. Otherwise, no. I think that if a student is drawn to that experience, we should be encouraging that students to take that experience. You'll be away for a semester or a summer or a month or a year, and that's fine.
Well, and of course, wherever you might be studying around the world, you can always keep up with the podcast.
What a shameless plug.
It is a shameless plug. And that means you can keep up with the Puzzler from wherever you are. So we had a new Puzzler in the last episode, so we need to solve the Puzzler.
Let me remind our listeners what this little Puzzler was. So you have two gasoline jugs, a 3-gallon jug and a 5-gallon jug. You're standing at a gas pump where you cannot read the number of gallons pumped out and you can't read the cost. You do not have a vehicle in which to pump into. And the question is, just using the 3-gallon jug and the 5-gallon jug and as much fuel from the pump as you want, can you measure exactly 1 gallon of gasoline without spilling or wasting any fuel? That was the challenge from last week, and I am ready to hear an answer.
This one is a little tricky because you don't have anywhere else to go. So you can't be sloshing gasoline outside of the cans to try to get to the number, and you can't
that
put any
lead
in the car.
That could lead to a large inferno.
So you have to sort of be careful with this. But what I keyed in on was, so one is 3 gallons, one is 5 gallons. So the difference is 2, and that gets you closer to 1.
So that's
right?
Incremental progress. So I like that. So very slowly talk through then what you want to do.
So what I think, since you're limited in actions, I think what makes the most sense is to pour the 3 gallons of gasoline from the 3-gallon jug into the 5.
Okay.
Right? So now you've got an empty 3-gallon jug. You've got 3 gallons in the 5-gallon jug, but essentially you've got 2 gallons of empty space.
Right.
So I think that comes into play. And you've also got the empty 3-gallon jug. So 3 minus 2 is 1. So what if you went back and filled up the 3 again, poured that into the 5 where you've already got 3, because now it can only hold 2 more, right? Because 3 plus 2 is 5. You should be left with 1 gallon in the 3-gallon jug. Does that get us there?
That is exactly right. And you can look at my answer. See, I drew a little picture like you. You see how I see
yes.
it?
With that? Arrows and numbers and addition and subtraction.
There
it's
you
awesome.
Go. Yep. So congratulations. You got it. And hopefully our listeners got it as well.
Yeah.
Since we did get this was a question prompted by listeners. Do you want to promote how to send
yes.
in more questions?
Of course. Yes. We always love hearing episode ideas and topics from listeners. The fastest way is just to email me. And my address is jstaton@kut.org. So let me spell that out. It's jstaton@kut.org. jstaton@kut.org. Just email me an idea and we will try to pick that up in a future episode. And Ed, I do want to get to the second part of this listener's email, because she went on to ask, she wanted to know your opinion about studying abroad, and also any tips you can give students and parents embarking on the college search.
Oh.
That's a big step, a big kind
a whole
of milestone
other episode.
In a family's life.
So I'll just be very brief here. Obviously, with technology the way it is, you can have a lot of virtual tours, and I urge people to engage through the colleges and universities' websites to kind of check out the school, get information, learn more. But at the end of the day, I urge all of our listeners to visit the campuses live. And if you do that, definitely, obviously take a tour, but definitely sit in on classes, engage with students, engage with faculty, engage with staff. And then most importantly, this is the most important thing, ditch your family and friends, whoever joined you on this trip. Let them go and get a cup of coffee somewhere at the campus center. And then by yourself, just walk around the campus, even if it's just 20 minutes. Just walk around that campus and ask yourself, do I feel comfortable walking along these sidewalks, along these paths, along these roadways? Do I like the environment, the people that I see? Am I drawn to them? Do they threaten me? Do they scare me? Does it look like I can befriend them? That's how you make your decision. It's not an intellectual decision. It's not through, oh, I got into this XYZ, you know, university and I have to go there because it's a fancy name. You have to go with your gut and your heart. Where you feel the most comfortable is where you will thrive. If you and I walk around the campus together, then I'm going to be comforted just because I'm with you. But if I walk by myself, which is how it really would be in real life, then you get a sense of, do I feel comfortable here? That's what makes up your decision.
So I do have, just as we wrap up our time here, I do have one kind of practical question to ask about a few steps before that in the process.
Sure.
So if you're a high school student and maybe a family member of that student, and you're so right that the internet is so valuable for being able to do kind of the preliminary rounds of research to maybe come to a list of places to visit, are there things that students should be looking for when they're doing that initial round of research? Because there are, I mean, honestly, there are so many schools out there, and there's so many good schools out there. How on earth do you begin to narrow it down?
Well, what you want to do is, first of all, you want to find schools that you think would be good fits for you. And so academically, socially, in terms of location, if you know, do you want to be in a city urban area? Do you want to be in a rural country area? Would you want to be surrounded by a lot of people and go to a big school? Do you want to go to a small school? Those are the kind of questions I would ask. To a lesser degree, academic interests. I think it's way too soon to go to a particular institution because they have a particular field of study that they're strong in. That's not a good idea because hopefully you'll be challenged and will change your major or your course of study. Be broad in that sense, but think about where would generate a good fit. And they might be foolish. I'll tell you that when I was a kid, my criteria was I wanted small and I wanted to be near the water so I can sail. That was literally how ridiculous my thinking was, but it led me to a school that ended up being wonderful for me and changed my life, but it was because it was a good fit. So you start with kind of some random things, and they could be even silly things. I would suggest you have a few schools that make sense for you that are a little bit of a stretch that would challenge you, some schools that kind of are the right level for you, and then maybe one school that you feel really confident that you'd probably be admitted to and would consider going to.
Well, Dr. Ed Berger, thank you for helping us always stretch every week with episodes of Higher Ed. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. Of course, you can also find us on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Staten with KUT News.